Chapter 5. The more he kept talking, the smaller I felt. It was a big part of the reason that I didn't come home to visit too much. He told me about the Dragon Wars, where one brood of dragons battled another for the sake of mankind. Every race, man, elf, dwarf, gnolls, orcs, and ogres, had been in danger those days. But the dragons, the good ones, like my father, won out. It all happened long before I came, and it was impossible to believe that there had been such devastation. Mankind, of all the races, that is, had been on the border of extinction. My father had sacrificed everything to prevent that, and he had the scars and missing scales to prove it. Still, it was all hard to believe that life on Nalzumbor had been so cold and hopeless. I stretched on a sofa, as soft and exquisite as one could be, and listened again. It must have been something I was missing. Why didn't I have my scales? And yet, again, he told me why he thought I didn't.
For every life you take, you must save another or more. It does not matter if they are good or evil. Who can really tell? There is good in everything, evil as well as...
I knew better. Orcs were evil. Gnolls, orcs, and bugbears, too. And renegade dragons, remnants of the Dragon Wars, were, too. It never made any sense to me to let them live. He knew what I was thinking.
It's not just the orcs, son. Men and elves can be just as bad. Have you not seen how they treat people? Would you treat your people like that? Outrageous.
It made sense. I'd spent so much time among them that I rarely noticed anymore. Some of their kind men liked, and some they didn't like. They would feud and war with one another, brag and boast about their riches, their kingdoms and princesses. I just laughed at them. They hadn't seen anything like I had, so their commentary was quite meaningless to me, but the company was very entertaining.
My father was the same as me and you. He made this throne, but this treasure was here long before he came, even his father before him. And like us, they were born dragons that turned to men. You are not like your brothers and sisters, nor was I. They care little for the world of mankind, but it's important that we do. Men and dragons need one another. It's how life is.
I never really understood why dragons needed men, except to make treasure, which was still one of those things I enjoyed searching for in my journeys. I met many great men, elves and dwarfs, but I never saw any reason why we needed them. They tended sheep and cattle, made objects that I assumed dragons were too big to craft. That was another thing. I never saw a dragon build anything.
When I was your age, I was a bigger man, stronger, faster than the others. Our dragon hearts account for that. Like a horse's times two. I was cocky, too, for a while. I befriended the dwarfs and learned about blacksmithing and forged the sword you've become so fond of over the years.
I jumped to my feet. You made Fang?
Indeed.
But if you weren't supposed to kill anybody, then why did you make the sword?
Because it's a symbol of truth, hope, and strength. The men respected a man that swung a blade. And I never said you couldn't kill, just that it's only a last resort. But again, take a life, save a life, or more.
How many did you kill?
Enough to remember each and every one. Seeing life diminishing in a dying creature's eyes is a sad thing indeed. We are here to save lives, not take them.
I thought about that, but... Don't we save lives when we take the lives of those endangering others?
How can you know for sure? At what cost, son? Men will always fight and feud whether we help them or not. They'll listen for a while, then wage war with one another. In all of your heroics, how much have you really changed?
It was true. Battles were won and lost. Good men died and bad ones lived. Evil withered in the dirt only to rise again into a strong and mighty tower. There was nothing that held it back for long, not war, not power, not peace. This was the part that gave me a headache, holding back against evil, the despicable beast.
Save the ones you can, son. Expect no rewards or thank yous and move on, which I don't think you are very eager to do.
I like being with people, but they aged quickly, and sooner or later I would always have to move on. It was hard to watch them fight so hard for a life that wasn't long-lasting. And maybe that was what I liked most about men. Every day mattered to them. Each one was new, never the same, filled with new adventures over every horizon. Men, good and bad, knew how to live. I let out a long sigh. I still had no idea how to get my scales.
I can see in your eyes that you are frustrated, Nathan.
No! Don't say it again! I held my hands up.
Sorry, son. You should stay among your brothers and sisters a while. I'd enjoy your company. Maybe my guidance will sink in.
He was talking about another 100 years at least. No, no!
I stammered, a good bit angry at myself.
I want to earn my scales. I want to be a dragon.
My father leaned back, dragon claws clasping his knees, and said, "Take the sword, the one you borrowed. It was going to be a gift anyway, but you slipped out of here like a halfling rogue before I could gift it to you. Take Brenwar."
My father's tone darkened, and so did his smoldering eyes.
"And do not return this time without your scales."
"What? I can't come back?"
An impatient tone took over his voice like a dam about to break. "No. Take with you that which you need. You've earned that much at least. But do not return without your scales."
I shouted back, "Earned it for what?"
"Saving our kin, the dragons. Like I've told you to. Focus on the dragons. The little green one, Ezebel, was quite grateful for your intrusion. She sends her best, and she's not the only one."
"Really?" I said, surprised.
"Son, have I ever lied?"
"No," I said.
"Or been wrong?"
I remained silent. I wasn't ready yet to admit that, so I shrugged. My father shook his neck, a column of red armor over pure muscle. Then he said,
"I don't just sit here as you think and leave every once in a while to gorge myself on cattle. I do many things you aren't aware of. I see things you cannot."
That was new, but I wasn't so sure I believed it. If he ever did pop out of the mountain, I was certain the entire world would know. And each and every one would be screaming like the world was on fire. I know that I would be if I wasn't his son. Then I realized he had gotten me off track. "Am I really banished, as you say?" I asked, unable to disguise my worry.
"Yes,"
he said, his voice stern.
"It's time you decided. Do you want to be a dragon or a man? Which is more important to you, son?"
It was a hard question to answer, and it shouldn't have been. Among the dragons, I wasn't so special, but among the people, I stood out. The women smelling like blossoming rosebuds, running their delicate fingers in my hair, whispering words in my ear that would make a bugbear blush. I liked it. And the elves, when you came across them, were so pure and delicate in beauty. Their mannerisms were quaint, direct, their cores as strong as deep tree roots. A bit arrogant, though, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy humbling them from time to time. The dwarfs, brash and bold like my dearest friend Brenwar, were the fiercest fighters and stubbornest competitors of all. Hardy, grim, and a little mirthful, I found nothing but comfort among their kind. My father interrupted my thoughts.
"Do you really have to think about it so much? By now, the choice should be clear."
I waved my hands up in front of me, saying, "Oh, no, no, father, it's dragons. I want to be with the dragons. It's just that I find myself feeling so sorry for the others." I lied to some small degree. I also wasn't so sure I wanted to sit where he sat forever, even with all the treasures of the world at my feet. There had to be more to what he did. Father lowered his head all the way down to the floor, his face a dozen feet from mine, hitting me with a snort of hot air. I felt like an insect when he said,
"I've been in your shoes and walked the same path. And I know what you're thinking. You think like a man. It's time to grow up and think like a dragon. Now with all my heart and wisdom, it is time for me to go. Take care, son." He reared up, went around the throne, and melded into an enormous mural of himself that was painted brilliantly on the wall. All of a sudden, I felt alone. His presence, for the first time in my life, seemed gone. It was clear that he was serious about my scales, and I'd better be getting serious as well. I spent the next few hours shuffling through the piles, loading his sack with anything I thought might help me, knowing full well it was up to me, no matter how many tricks I had in my pack. I departed, taking one last long look back at the mural of my father, and wishing that I was on the other side of the grand painting as well. Brenoir awaited me, leaning against a wall, arms folded over his barrel chest, bushy black brows raised with alarm.
"You live,"
he said, more in a grumble but a surprised one.
"Ha! You didn't really think he'd kill me, did you?" "I would have."
"For what?" I demanded. Brenoir slammed my scabbarded sword into my chest.
"For stealing."
"Borrowing," I said, correcting him. "Besides, it was mine to take anyway."
"I know."
"You did?" I said, surprised. "But how did..."
"Just keep walking, Chatterbox. I'm ready to go. I feel so blasted small in this place. And there's no ale or dwarfs."
Brenoir kept going on, but I couldn't listen. My mind was too busy wondering if this would be my last time at home or not. My scales. I had my doubts I could do it. But determined I was. And a good bit deflated, too. How could I ever be a great dragon like my father? I didn't even have one scale.